All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Digital Dive Podcast. Hope you have been keeping well. My name is Darsh. I am one of the co-hosts. And of course, I am accompanied with my amazing other co-host, Jacqueline. What's going on?
Hey, I didn't give you anything there. What's up? How are you doing? I'm kind of off today. How are you?
No, honestly, me too. We're both exhausted. It's very busy time of year and I'm doing okay. I had a final last night. So for those listeners who do not know, I'm currently in school. And while I am in school, I do have final season and I had probably my most stressful exam I've had throughout my college experience last night.
Oh my gosh.
It was a full day exam. It was a 24-hour exam. It came out at 9 a.m. yesterday in the morning and it was due 9 a.m. this morning, Friday that we're recording this. And it was just hectic. I woke up yesterday, went and got COVID tested because I'm going home for the holidays, wanted to make sure I was safe before going to see my family. And then I started actually doing the exam and I was literally sitting at my desk for, I'd probably say like 5-6 hours at a time before getting up. I'd get up and my entire body would start cracking.
Your professor sounds somewhat like a jerk to give you a 24-hour exam.
I mean, so because of COVID, we can't necessarily have the in-person exam, so it can't be timed. And then for everything that we have offering, like a lot of our stuff are like take-home 24-hour exams. But most of the time, you wouldn't expect to spend 24 hours on it. But it was coming to a point last night where I was literally about to stay up all night and finish it until I figured some stuff out and I just submitted it.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah, Darsh and I were texting late night last night.
Yeah.
And he had been at it all day. That's crazy. Well, I'm glad that you're done. This week has been super busy for me as well. And then this morning, I had an interview with Jumpstart Magazine.
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was cool. It was supposed to actually be yesterday, and I put it in my calendar for the wrong day. Okay, so I go to bed yesterday at like 4 a.m., meaning like not like the night. It's very confusing. I went to bed like Wednesday leading into Thursday at like 4 a.m.
Okay.
I was like, oh my gosh, like I have nothing to do all day. Like I'm going to sleep really late because I went to bed so late. So I wake up at like, I don't know, 12, and the interview was that day at 10, but I thought it was Friday.
Oof.
So I wake up to an email of the person being like, hey, I'm in the Zoom room waiting. And I was like, oh no, I felt so bad. And I also felt like an absolute moron.
No, I felt that before. That's happened to me so many times. I've had meetings, especially during quarantine too, where I've like had meetings with someone or the other. And it's literally like, I'll be waking up being like, oh wait, I said 8 a.m., didn't I? Not 9.
Yeah.
And I'd be just so late. And I'd be like, I'm so sorry. Like I did not expect to be jumping on this call that this early. I completely messed up when figuring out the availabilities. So yeah, it's been a hectic time of year. It's definitely hectic.
I mean, like yesterday after that happened, and I was running on like, I don't like very little sleep for the week because I've just had so much stuff. So I guess like, I don't know if I can blame sleep deprivation here, but then I had like two other things that day and I also forgot about them. So I was just like totally off my game. Yesterday, I remembered like a minute before they started and I like had to like race to my computer and get on. But yeah, it's been a crazy week. Let us know on Twitter, guys, if it's been a crazy week for you.
Yeah, exactly. I want to hear all about that. And even in the tech space too, actually, there's only one thing in tech I really just wanted to bring up and it's the AirPods Pro Max, like AirPods Max, whatever it's called. I don't know why I'm so excited about it, even though like it's not priced well whatsoever. I just wanted to bring that up. Like I'm excited for it. I want to hear how they sound. I'm really intrigued by it.
Yeah. That video that Marquez made about them is number one on trending.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Not surprised whatsoever.
The hype is real for these. And you know what's crazy? Like anytime Apple comes out with anything like this, I feel like there's always people like, oh, like it's so overpriced. No one's going to care. But even if people don't end up buying it, people care. The interest is really there.
The interest is going to be there, and it's going to be a goal for a lot of people to strive for, to like save up for and buy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in Canada, it's $800.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's like $770, something like that after taxes. It's absurd, and okay. Like here's the thing: for headphones, I won't spend more than $200 on them. I don't see that there's a need to, unless I'm like doing something very, very like intense audio work or something. I don't see the point of anything above maybe $250 for headphones. Even my AirPods Pro were just a huge impulse purchase, and I really like, I love them, but were they really there? I don't know. But the AirPods Pro Max or AirPods Max, I don't even know what they're fully called. I don't know if is the Pro in there?
That is a really good question. I think it's AirPods Max and not Pro, but let me check. I'm pretty sure it's just AirPods Max.
Yeah, it's AirPods Max, yeah.
Okay. Dude, you never know. There could be an AirPods Pro Max coming this year.
We don't know. With Apple's naming scheme, it's so interesting and so weird. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up real quick before we got into like the heat of this episode, because it is a packed episode. I just wanted to bring up the AirPods Max because I thought it was just something so interesting. And so I guess I didn't think they were going to come out this year. I thought we'd see them next year, but I'm in the minority, I feel like, with that.
By the time that we come back from our break, because for anyone that doesn't know, this is our last episode of 2020.
Yes. Oh my.
Kind of sad about it.
Here's the thing. I'm sad about it, but I'm also very excited for 4 weeks of uninterrupted just me lying down doing nothing.
I think it's 3 weeks for us, maybe. Is it more?
Oh, it's 3 weeks for our break. You're right. No, it's 3 weeks for our break. I'm thinking of like for school. My school doesn't start until for 4 weeks.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that for sure. But for us, we're taking a break from the podcast because we want to give Luke some time off because he's been killing it.
He's been crushing it. It's insane.
Yeah. So when we come back, the whole point of I just says I like completely lost my train of thought, but the whole point is when we come back, I'll have tested out the AirPods Max.
Oh, did you already, you're getting them in?
Yeah. So we'll be able to talk a little bit more about them then.
I'm excited to hear about how it did or how you find it because it's so interesting to me how, okay, for how expensive they are, I can only imagine the sound quality that's going to go with them. I mean, the AirPod Pro Max by no means is like a very amazing set of headphones in terms of audio quality, but they're up there. I genuinely am pretty happy with the audio quality. I don't think I could be bothered by anything better than that.
And it seems like from the preliminary reviews that it's pretty positive. It does seem like the appeal of them is more so a design appeal and a convenience appeal, more so than just like incredible sound quality. So only time will tell. But based on Apple's other products, like the HomePod, that was really good. So I'm excited. I think they're really expensive. I don't think most people are going to end up buying them, obviously. But I think that there is a market of people, and anyone that underestimates that doesn't understand the appeal of Apple and the appeal of over-ear premium headphones.
Honestly, Apple's been doing insane stuff this year, and especially with their new releases when it comes to tablets. This year, they completely refreshed the entire iPad lineup, and I thought that was insane. And I guess I can kind of go into our first point. So today, we wanted to go a full deep dive into our favorite tablets of 2020. We want to talk about that for a little bit because we did talk about phones last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, I want to talk about best tablets 2020 because I don't know about you. I found tablets to be so much more useful this year. And I think that 2020 was actually a very, very good year for tablets.
Yeah.
Especially because everything's going online, right? You kind of need that portable piece of paper, I guess, in a sense.
This episode is actually, I think, going to be maybe our favorite, most jam-packed episode of the year because this is our best of 2020 episode. We want to make this like a yearly tradition if you guys enjoy it where every year we do this. So two episodes ago, as Darsh just said, we talked about the best smartphones of 2020. Today's episode, we're going to talk about best tablets, the best YouTube project we worked on, best overall tech, and then the plans for the podcast in 2021. So it is packed. Let's start with tablets, though, Darsh. I feel like you are definitely much more versed than I am in the tablet arena because you actually used a tablet for your main device for a minute there.
Yeah. So, okay. So basically, for me at least, the big thing is with tablets, I need it to be able to do three things. I need it to replace my laptop for the very easy, simple functions. I need it to take notes, and I need it for media consumption. Now, looking at all those three things in combined, so it needs a stylus so I can take notes. It needs to have some keyboard accessory that's available for me to be able to actually like do work on it, actual work. And then like simple stuff like emails, web browsing, docs, everything like that, everything I need for school. And then for three, media consumption, it has to have a good screen. I would have initially started off this year with the best tablet being, I would have said the Samsung Galaxy Tab S7.
Oh, interesting.
It was ignorant of me because I hadn't actually used an iPad. Now that I've used both an iPad and a Samsung-based tablet that has like, that's I guess Apple's biggest competitor when it comes to like tablet competitors, that's not another iPad. I feel like the iPad is just such an amazing tablet for me, at least, that I find has become so useful. So my favorite tablet for this year would have to be the iPad Air, the new one that they just released, because the new design is very, very reminiscent or very well designed and very well put. Everything is placed out the same way as the iPad Pro. And I feel like that's great. And even though there's a slightly bigger bezel, I'm not really too fazed by it. And without ProMotion, that's not really a huge deal. I feel like for most consumers, for myself, I don't think I would notice that much if I didn't have ProMotion. And otherwise, it has cool colors. It has a good design. It has Pencil 2 support, and it also has the smart keyboard attachment support. So I think it's one of the probably best tablets of 2020.
Dude, that you got right at the point there. So that's Darsh's pick, best tablet 2020.
Oh yeah, I jumped the gun a little bit, just kind of going right into it. But no, 100%.
That was great. I personally would probably say that's like the best value tablet of this year for like best overall like flagship tablet. I think that goes to the iPad Pro because it has like the LiDAR sensor and the couple extra things that I actually don't think are worth the extra money for most people. But if we're like ignoring the money like we did with our smartphone categories and we're just like looking at like most premium, I think it's there. I think that's number one. And then I think my runner up is the Samsung Tab S7, because if you want an Android tablet, that's kind of like the most comprehensive, most premium, best looking one.
Okay, so would you say that then? So the Tab S7, would you say a Tab S7 Plus? Or would you say with the iPad, the bigger screen, the 13-inch variant or the 12-inch variant?
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, what would you say there? Like, would you say that you want the bigger screen or would you want the smaller screen? What would you think for that?
I personally like the iPad Pro 11-inch better than the 12.9. I feel like the 12.9 is like huge. Like, and I personally don't think that tablets are out of place right now to replace a laptop. It can be done, but I think that you make so many compromises to do that. I think you disagree with that. But for me, getting a 12.9-inch isn't something I'd want to do because I feel like that's the size you get to be a laptop, and I'd rather get a tablet for a tablet.
No, I 100% know what you mean. Like, I think that it is possible for someone to take a tablet and use it as their main day-to-day. Like, 100% it's possible, especially if you have, like, a work desktop or something like that. It's 100% feasible for everyone's personal everyday use. For when it comes to, like, enterprise and actually working in an office or working anywhere, you'd probably want an actual dedicated computer for most of your genuine tasks, just in terms of screen size and everything. But for everyday easy consumption, I think that tablets could definitely work. For me, actually, so I kind of jumped the gun again a little bit there with the iPad Air. I think it's probably the best tablet of 2020 for the everyday consumer, for everyone. That's just the most, like, the most bang for your buck, the just best tablet I could recommend to anyone. The best tablet overall would have to then be the iPad Air Pro. So iPad Pro 2020 edition with the smart keyboard folio case, because that looks so cool with the way the hinge works. It just has me so happy. And also, I would also give the runner-up to the Tab S7, but the Tab S7 Plus, because I feel like the Samsung Galaxy Tab S7 Plus with DeX and the keyboard really is a very, very good computer replacement.
I could totally see that. I still wouldn't do it, but it's possible.
Oh yeah, that's not for the masses. That's not for the majority. I don't think most people would be down for that. I don't think a lot of people would want to switch into a full tablet. I mean, I would be down to try it again with, like, something newer than what I was using. It's still an iffy situation.
Dude, even if I wasn't, like, a YouTuber and I wasn't doing video production, I still would not want it, because I just feel like it's so much easier to do emails, Google Doc, everything. Like, most of it can work on a tablet, but there's that little bit more of resistance, and I feel like computers and technology are tools to get our work done, and I want the easiest tool possible. So I'd rather just, like, keep the tablet for immediate consumption. And I also don't necessarily, like, feel the need for that 2-in-1. Like, I won't say never, because it could change. I don't ever see myself wanting a tablet 2-in-1 for my laptop. I kind of just see myself having a laptop and maybe having a foldable phone.
See, okay, that's definitely fair. And I think with that, I wouldn't recommend anyone use an iPad as a daily, like, computer. My reasoning behind the Tab S7 Plus saying that could be a daily driver for emails, Google Docs, watching movies, TV and stuff, first off, it's 13-inch screen. And then for another, DeX. Samsung DeX, I didn't know this until I used the Tab S6 as my day-to-day computer for, like, a week when my laptop was in the shop. It's actually very, very well done. And if you have an external screen or monitor, like, attached to it, you can get everything you need to get done besides anything that's graphic intensive.
Yeah, that is valid. That's true.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's what I more so meant with that in that regard.
I got you. Yeah, I mean, I think that the tablet market is, like, super comprehensive, and, like, there's so many different options now. So, like, if you want, like, a mini tablet, you can get that. If you want a big tablet, if you want a Surface tablet, if you want a 2-in-1, like, there are a lot of options.
There's so many options now.
Yeah, but at the same time, Apple is so far ahead.
It's the ecosystem. Like, they were the first ones to release tablets as a whole, as an actual genre of technology. And when they did that, they introduced the App Store, and the App Store was already ever expanding. And now their App Store is just huge. There's no apps on Android tablets or any other platform.
There's no other company that can compete with Apple in terms of not even just, like, the ecosystem, but the overall tablet experience is really polished on Apple. They have the processor that's really polished. They have the accessories, they have the apps, like you just said. Like, there's a lot of things going for it. So even if you're an Android user, it almost makes sense to get an Apple tablet.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird how unlocked they have it. I don't know. I didn't review that many tablets this year, considering, like, how passionate we are about them. Like, I did a project with Samsung earlier in the year for the Tab S6 Lite, which I genuinely think is an awesome option for students.
Oh yeah, 100%. I used the Tab S6 last year for school, and it was probably one of the best things I ever did. It got me into taking notes on my tablet. Is what got me so into it.
Yeah, no, and you were almost going to make that video, which maybe would have been your favorite video project of 2020.
Ooh,
who knows?
This is true.
We'll never be able to find out now. What's your runner-up? If that couldn't happen, what was the one that did happen that was your favorite YouTube project of 2020?
I think probably one of my favorite YouTube projects of 2020 was my LG Grand video. It was the last video I made, and it was on, like, a hot streak. I was on a hot streak of just, like, good videos coming out week to week to week, and I really want to get back to that. But I think it was probably my best project and my favorite project of 2020 because I really started playing around with Final Cut and with After Effects, trying to find cool new ways to introduce, like, text or different ways to interact with the audience through on-screen different items. And I thought that was such a fun experience for me. And that intro sequence, I make an intro sequence at the beginning of every single one of my videos. And that intro sequence is one of the ones that I am very proud of for this year. And it's probably my favorite YouTube project.
Yeah, that video was fire.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Dude, when are we getting more of those types of videos?
Okay, my goal is I'm going to take the next 3 weeks off of anything. I'm just not going to do anything for 3 weeks. For the first time in 2020, I'm just going to take 3 weeks just to do me, just to relax, sit back, do nothing, just let myself cool off. And then when 2021 starts, I'm hitting the ground running. I'm hopefully going to start producing videos within January, and I'm going to start piling them up the way that I should have done it from the get-go with while being in school. I'm going to start making the videos and then setting schedules to have them put out for. And so that if there's ever a week where I can't produce something, I have videos sitting in the bank ready to go.
Now, how will you do that with tech kind of being something where you have to be time sensitive with it?
So the thing is with me when it comes to tech is my channel is still fairly small. So a lot of the products I get to test out for the most part aren't really time sensitive because they've either already been out for a while or they're just not very eye-catching or very like front of the news type thing. So they're not really getting as much search. So a lot of the videos that I do end up making, I think also that I'm going to try to make for 2020 is going to be a lot more conversational. And a lot more just me with the camera explaining things that I'm interested in within the realm of tech and not even just mobile tech and like computing tech. I want to look into coffee tech. I want to look into cool, different, unique pieces of maybe fashion tech, stuff like that. I want to just go all out and just try all these different things because I feel like if I don't try it once, I'm going to hate the fact that I didn't try different things on my channel to see if anything else works besides just tech.
Wow, that's kind of interesting. Yeah, I mean, you're actually right because a lot of the videos that you do are like long-term reviews, mm-hmm. which actually do pretty well, view-wise as well.
View-wise, they do fantastic, but I've realized that as much as I do love that, I do like being able to do other things and I want to try new things, especially since like I haven't been as consistent with my channel as I should be. And while I am going to hopefully get better at consistency, I think that I want to make sure that I'm trying everything I can with my channel and seeing what else could potentially make me happy in terms of producing this content. Because I love producing content as a whole, but I want to try different types of content. See what other kind of stuff I can come up with. I think that'd be really cool. Even maybe filmmaking tech. I feel like that could be really interesting to try out.
Dude, the next Peter McKinnon, maybe.
If I could ever become the next Peter McKinnon, I do not say this lightly. Like, I would be just the happiest person alive. Like, there would never not be a smile on my face. Not even the new Peter McKinnon, but just be a staple person in video production and just teaching about photography. So I would lose my mind.
Dude, you should, like, honestly, like, let's set that goal, 2021. You should do that. Become, like, known.
I think that could be something cool. I think what I do is probably I do a lot more video stuff, and I do a lot more video stuff for beginner and stuff like that. But, yeah, like, I feel like that could be something really cool, and I am very passionate about it. I know quite a lot about a lot of things within the filmmaking space.
Because your A-roll, I mean, and I say this not lately at all, I think that your A-roll is some of the best ever.
Thank you.
Genuinely, you don't have, like, maybe, like, the most expensive equipment in the world, and it still looks really, really good. The lighting is always on point. The framing is great. It's really visually pleasing. So I honestly do feel like you could be like a vlogger, filmmaker type, and it would work really well.
Thank you. I actually really appreciate it. I think that could be something really cool. And I think even in quarantine, I think I could make some pretty cool vlogs. I've wanted to do vlogging for so long. It's just I feel like my production quality is going to go down, and I don't know if I want to take that sacrifice.
Do you not feel like you can make a high-quality vlog?
I feel like I can make a high-quality vlog, but I feel like with the equipment that I have right now, without going out and spending any more...
I got you.
Like, yeah, my audio is probably going to go down. I'm not going to be using nice glass. I'll be using my kit lens, because my kit lens is the only lens I have with autofocus. And so it's going to be... It'll be different. It'll be very, very different. And I definitely still have sit down segments, stuff like that. And like sit and I've actually put a lot of thought into this.
Dude, you should take the plunge and like buy like the gear for like 30 days or something and like try to make it work and see what happens.
That could definitely be something to be interested in. But no, that's going into our later topics of our plans for 2021.
Oh yeah, yeah, true.
But I want to hear about your best YouTube project that you worked on in 2020 before we hit with a quick break and get back to you guys.
Okay, so 2020 was kind of a pivotal year for me as well on the channel in a couple different ways. 2020, I could no longer go to my office after
COVID.
March when the pandemic yep. started. So that was huge, which I've talked a lot about on the podcast. Obviously, yeah. I still care about it a lot.
No, of course. It makes sense. It's your office space. It's where you work best. It's you've created a space for you to work most efficiently. It's 100% understandable.
And it was like my first space ever. So I feel like nostalgic about it. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm getting into the fields right now. But anyway, so because I couldn't be there, a lot of what I had there was good production quality stuff. So it was easy, not easy, but like I was a lot more efficient at filming videos and I could rely a lot on like the videos looking aesthetically pleasing. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I had to start shooting at home, it suddenly became a lot more about the story. How do I tell a really good story here? Because I don't have the same level of equipment or shot diversity or all these other things. And because of that, I never up until this year wrote an act one, act two, act three for my videos. Never, ever, ever. I would always be like story, 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 but then I wouldn't do it in that way. And ever since I started focusing really on the story, I would say even like the last 3 months, the watch time has gone up exponentially. Feedback on the videos is so much better. So for me, kind of, if I had to say like my favorite project of 2020, it would be my like editing. That's not a project, but the iPhone 12 review is like probably my favorite project because it showcases that editing. But overall, like the most improved like thing that I'm most excited about from my YouTube channel this year is just the increased focus on telling a story in the edit and making sure that I'm actually telling an act one, act two, act three story.
Yeah, I think that's actually, I think that's honestly one of the things that you did this year that I've noticed and I think is genuinely fantastic. I've been so intrigued and interested throughout every single one of the videos that you've put out this year. And I think that over time it's gotten just better and better. So really huge kudos to you because that's incredible. I don't even know how to do the act one, act two, act three for my videos. I tried doing it, I think, during the summer and I couldn't figure out the good way to do it that fit my kind of format. And I think the way that you've done it is just, it's so well integrated into your channel and your overall brand and design. I think it's so cool.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it means a lot. We are at 24 minutes. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm actually drinking cold brew right now. You can hear the ice. So you guys should do the same and go get a cold brew. And we will be right back. Okay, welcome back. Hopefully you are now feeling a little bit more caffeinated. You're halfway through a cold brew in the 10 seconds that we played a song.
Halfway through a cold brew. I was really going to say, how do you get through cold brew that fast? Like, I just sit down and sip my cold brew very, very slowly because I like to enjoy the flavor of it all. I don't know, maybe I'm a little different.
I lost my taste for coffee last week on like a very quick side tangent and it was very sad and now it's back and I've had like three today.
Funny enough, we talked about this the other day, like a couple weeks ago we talked about this too because you said
it's happened to me.
Yeah, I feel like that does happen.
Three times is a lot though. I think it's because I like really consume it and I like don't ever change up the way I have it. So like last week when I stopped like liking it, I changed to a sweetened creamer. And I loved it like that. And now I'm back to just like a dash of almond milk and no sugar. And I'm loving it again. Mm-hmm. But you know what else I'm loving this year? Some overall, our favorite tech of the year. That was a horrible transition, but let's just run with it, man.
No, it's not good.
Best overall tech of the year is kind of an interesting category for us because it could be anything. It could be a vacuum. Like it could literally be whatever you want it to be.
This is true.
And I'm going to throw it to you.
So my first pick would have to be the Google Nest Hub. I talk about this all the time. And the reason for it is because my entire room is automated. And I think that's a video I'm going to start out next year with, hopefully. And it's going to be a full automation setup. So show you how I automated my entire university apartment and how it all works together. And it just honestly, it's made my entire day-to-day so much easier because I can literally look at it like an assistant and have Google Assistant tell me literally everything that I need to do in the day, plus give me the weather, plus give me commute times, all access to all of my lights in my room. So it's always keeping things very fast-paced like I like it. And it's just, I don't know, it's just good. I feel like it's just such a nice piece to have on my nightstand and it helps me in so many ways. Like it's probably my favorite piece of tech for this year.
Yeah, I'm actually super excited to see that video. For me, I'll continue on with like the smart home tech trend. I got something called Casper Glow.
Okay.
Which is like this light orb. They're highly expensive, so I wouldn't like recommend them to everyone, but it's this light orb that you can pair with your phone and it will naturally wake you up in the morning. So like you can say you want to wake up at 8 and it will naturally like brighten the room. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because the last 2 days I've slept accidentally with my shades open and I've naturally woken up a lot more refreshed because like the sunlight is coming in and it doesn't feel like I'm waking up in the middle of the night, even though I've been sleeping less. So the Casper light kind of does the same thing. And I use it often as like a reading light before bed. So that's my rec.
No, that's definitely fair. I think that's something I do within my Nest Hub. Like I have it set up so in the mornings, whenever I turn off my alarm, it turns on all my lights in my room to a bright, bright white.
That's so smart.
And it starts playing the news. It's a little sudden and it does take some time to get used to, but it works really well. But I like the idea of keeping your shades open because I feel like that's probably the most natural way to do it. But on the days where it's gloomy, I feel like the lighting situation I have would be very useful as well. My next favorite piece of tech for this year has to be my iPad. It's become one of those things that I use literally every single day, whether it be content consumption. I'm trying to look into how to do content creation on it. It's just fun because I get to really play with everything with my hands versus typing or using a mouse. I feel like it's just so much more immersive.
That's a great one. My next one is the 16 terabyte drives. I'm constantly running out of storage, constantly deleting stuff, which is a disaster. And all the projects are like 200 to 300 gigabytes. And if I'm producing a video like every week, that really adds up. So this is 16 terabytes of footage. I compare it to my computer. It's RAID style. It's quite expensive, but if you're a video creator and you're interested in a really robust, reliable storage drive, that would be my pick.
Nice. I'm going to go into some more traditional tech. So if you guys did watch our last podcast episode, you listened to it and you checked out some of the clips that have been coming out, we did a everyday carry. And one of my everyday carry, of course, always has to be a watch because I'm a huge watch person. I just like wearing a watch on my wrist at all times. Not a smartwatch, a normal watch. It is still a piece of tech. Don't at me. This year I got Plain Supply had reached out to me asking if I wanted to check out one of their watches. And I was like, yeah, 100%. I love watches. And I started wearing it. And it's actually super cool because it has like three different bands for it. So it's super versatile, but it's also very clean and minimal. So I think it's a really cool piece of tech because it's such a versatile piece of standard and very traditional tech that I think I use every single day. I have like six watches and I usually cycle between them. But as of late, I've been wearing this one just with different bands and it's been so much fun.
That's a really good rec as well. Dude, you're on fire with these.
Thank you.
My next one Galaxy Fold 2, pretty self-explanatory. It's a foldable phone. It's incredible. Yeah, it needs room for innovation, but it's the tech that makes me feel like I'm living in the future. So that was one of my favorite pieces of tech this entire year.
Ooh, with that actually being said, I got to bring up the HomePod Mini. I am so stoked about the HomePod Mini. I think it actually is a really, really cool way to get into the Apple ecosystem, or if you're already in the Apple ecosystem, it's a really cool way to kind of just make everything work together really well, seamlessly. And it just honestly adds a really cool addition in your home, because I feel like, though it does look like a fruit in a, what is it, like those webbed packaging. Have you seen those memes?
No, I've not.
Like a mango and like a mango and like just search up HomePod fruit memes and like you'll see it. Just like an apple and like one of those I guess fabric-y type nets that hold it in those boxes.
Did you see Colin and Samir's video on it where they basically said that Apple makes their devices memeable because it gives them like publicity and it makes people exposed to it many, many times?
That makes actually a lot of sense. On a marketing standpoint, that adds up.
Dude, I'm going to send it to you. It blew my mind. I was actually like, oh my gosh, this is crazy.
We'll definitely watch it. But yeah, the HomePod Mini, I feel like, is one of the coolest pieces of tech this year because it's Apple's entryway into the, I guess, somewhat more inexpensive smart home assistants. I think it's just a super cool way that they did it. I think the design is just fantastic, and I'm excited, hopefully, to get my hands on it at some point next year.
Yeah, that's a great one. Okay, my final recommendation, or like my final overall favorite piece of tech, is the Rode Procaster, actually, because it enables us to do this podcast, and it enables us to do it in the most seamless way possible. I plug it into my computer, and I'm ready to start recording. It equalizes the mic for me, it makes it a good volume, and it also just looks highly professional.
100%. I think I definitely would have to add the pod mic to mine. You said this is the last one, right?
You can do as many as you want, man.
No, I'm running out of things I want to bring up for this year. This year's been a little uneventful for myself when it comes to tech, and for what I've really been super, super into. But the pod mic has been one of those things that, like, it's changed the game for audio. Like, this is the type of stuff I will use for every single video I make now. Like, I used to use a Blue Yeti for all of my videos. Now I've been using this for, like, for producing for freelance or for friends or for the podcast. It's just the audio quality coming out of this pod mic is just, it's ASMR level quality. Like, I feel like I could do ASMR and make money off this. I'm being so serious. Like, it's so nice.
That's actually, yeah, it's a really high quality mic. When you hear yourself, especially when you're live monitoring yourself, it's kind of a trippy thing because you can hear your voice, but in a much clearer way than you normally hear yourself talk.
Yeah.
The level of clarity is amazing.
It's insane because it's literally, it's not like you're speaking and it's not coming to your ears. It's, you're speaking and it's right in your ears. Like, you're hearing literally everything you're saying.
And it's real time. Yeah, it's really cool.
Rode, perfection. Good job.
Yeah, hats off to you guys. I think that, dude, are we on to our plans for 2021 for our podcast and our lives? Is that where we're at now?
I think so. This episode has been pretty quick. It feels like pretty quick, but it's actually been a pretty decent amount of time. It's because we have so much to talk about. We wanted to talk about so much about 2020 with you guys and our plans for 2021. And I'm super excited for 2021. I think it's going to be a really, really cool year for both of us. And Jacqueline, why don't you just take us into what your plans are? I've kind of already touched on mine a bit, but talk about what you have planned for us for 2021 with the NBT Jacqueline brand and YouTube channel. What's going on?
All right, dude, I'll hit the NBT and then we could both talk about Digital Dive because we have a lot planned for that as well.
100%.
Yeah, for nothing but tech, I think a lot of it is pandemic permitting. Like, if we're out of the pandemic halfway through the year, then it's the office space, it's traveling, it's public speaking, it's events and things like that. But I'm not obviously going to rely on that. So I have a lot of goals that are outside of that. For me, I want to really just keep focusing on producing high quality videos. And the main thing that, if I ask anyone for feedback, they're like, your videos are too late. I post weeks after I should be posting, and it's because I'm doing every aspect of the video production, from the scripting to the filming to the editing, everything. So it just takes a really long time to do that, plus all the other stuff in my life that I also have to do. And I do like freelance and I do public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm often late with videos. So one of my major goals with 2021 is to produce a video every single week and to be on time with like the reviews and stuff. So other than that, I just want to like keep posting content and grow the Discord a lot. That's really important to me. I want to kind of grow that community. And I think honestly, man, it's just like, it's putting in the work. I honestly believe that hard work pays off always, and it's just a matter of when. So I just want to keep putting in the work and keep going.
100%. I definitely, definitely agree with that. I think that's actually a really good goal for 2021, like focusing on keeping consistent and just keeping the work in and just keep putting the work in. I think that's something I have to work on too. I see this every year. Actually, you know what? I have people now who are going to hold me accountable. Everyone listening in this audience, I urge you, tweet me. Tell me, where's the next video? When's the next video? I will actually respond and I will start putting out more content. I feel like sometimes with my channel, because of how small it is, I don't really get that kind of like, hey, where's the next video? When can we expect it? I'm so excited for it and stuff like that. And if you guys were to tell me you guys were excited for new videos, maybe I'll make more videos. I don't know.
Just need the, maybe that's the thing. The accountability partner.
Exactly. I think that's one of the things that I just need. I need to be held accountable to make these videos because I love making them. But then some weeks I just get so lazy. And then once I stop, it's like going to the gym. Once you stop for one day, You have to push yourself the next day after that to go.
Yes.
And then every day you leave it, you don't end up doing it. And then you end up just pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And that happened for this entire semester for me.
Do you have any personal goals?
I think for 2021, one of my personal goals is going to be to focus on physical health. I really want to get into like the best physical shape I can. I also want to grow my hair back out. I really want to go back to like long hair. I really miss it. So I think that and like just like keeping a good, clear mindset of just keeping myself the healthiest I possibly can. I think that's one of the things I really want for 2021, sorry.
I have like two like main personal goals for 2021. The first one is to like work out more as well. I'm aiming for like 4 or 5 days a week.
That's really good.
I think that'd be ideal. So that's the first one. I want to like be able to, I like running, so I want to do more of that. And then the second one is something that I actually saw from my friend Ali Abdal, and I think I butchered his name. I'm like the worst, but he talked about something that he's doing this year where at the end of every single day, he writes down a story from the day. And he was saying that it's helped him immensely improve as a storyteller, because a lot of times people think I don't have that many interesting things in my life to like talk about. And a lot of times then people aren't like interesting in conversation or whatever it may be. But I think a lot of times we actually do have really interesting things that happen to us, or we have ways to make them interesting. And there's actually something about like flexing that storytelling muscle to make something uninteresting interesting. Like at the beginning of the podcast, when I was talking about sleeping in through that interview, there's a way to make that story really interesting, even though the actual thing that happened is that I was an idiot and I didn't realize that I did the interview that day. So
yeah,
that's something I want to do. I want to create like a Google Doc. And at the end of every single day, I want to like write a short paragraph of a story. And I think that that will help me a lot with just like storytelling in my personal life, but also storytelling for the videos.
I think that's definitely a really, really good goal. And I think that's really, really cool.
You guys should join me on that goal. Let us know on Twitter if you want to join me on that. I actually think it's a really good goal for everyone, because I think if we were all better storytellers in our life, all of our interactions would be a lot more fun.
100%. But with that all being said, what about our overall plans for the podcast? What do we have planned for this upcoming year? What do we want done for this podcast? Where do we want to be with this podcast?
Yeah, I think Darsh and I have like discussed that number goals aren't like it, because there's so many other factors and you don't know like when your hard work is going to pay off. With the Nothing But Tech channel, it took a full year to hit 3,000 subscribers. And then at the end of year three, it was like 50. So it's like very exponential.
Mm-hmm.
So Darsh and I have like talked about not like stressing out about not seeing incredible growth or like insane growth right away. So I think more so for us, our goal is to hit the Monday upload every single week, which we've actually done for the past
five weeks.
We've been great, honestly. I'm like very impressed with our whole team.
And huge, huge thank you to Luke, man. He's been grinding these out. It's insane the amount of work that he's put in.
Yeah, he's awesome. I love Luke. And Luke's staying with us for 2021. So super amped about that. He's a great friend and an incredibly talented guy. But so I think that's the main thing for, at least for me personally, I want to keep hitting that Monday upload. I want to still post on our YouTube channel and I want to get better and better at titling them.
That's definitely a really good goal. I think one of my big goals for the podcast for this upcoming year is to just grow our overall community. We have a couple people in our community who are just super, super engaged with us all the time. They know who they are. And there's a couple who are just getting into it now. I want to just expand that community as best and as big as we can. I really want to be able to have these really cool conversations with our audience and with our community over the next year. And I want them to be really meaningful and really impactful for everyone.
That's a really good goal as well. Yeah. I think like having like the digital dive world, which we've talked about, would be sick. So
yeah,
I don't know, man. I think this is honestly like definitely one of the highlights of 2020 for me, this podcast.
Oh, 100%. Me as well. I think it's one of the things that's pushed me to, you know, stay technologically involved, I guess, like stay involved in tech and in the tech space, because I feel like I was drifting at one point because of how little I was posting. And I find myself, and like with how much I've just been consumed with school and everything else goes on in the world, I didn't get time to actually look into things that I loved. And tech is one of those things I'm super, super passionate about. And every time I get to record this podcast, it's just an excuse for me to go deep dive into everyone's YouTube channel and just watch a bunch of videos and just find out what I want to talk about and what I want to like spitball with you every week. So it's been honestly one of the highlights of my weeks every single week, especially since we've been doing every weekly episodes. I love it. I'm so here for it.
Yeah, dude, this podcast has honestly brought a level of discipline to my life that I haven't ever had. Like, yeah, I work really hard. I'm in Nothing But Tech stuff, but I know that you and Luke are relying on me for this podcast and to get it up every Monday. And like that level of discipline means that we do it every single Monday. And that's kind of what I want to implement into the YouTube channel of like, I need to do it then.
Mm-hmm.
I'm such a perfectionist sometimes with things. And I end up being like, oh, well, I can just post tomorrow and let me like spend an extra hour doing this. And I think that there's something to that. But I also think at the end of the day, you get better with quantity by just doing it over and over. And that's something that this podcast has really shown up me. Like, I don't think that you and I would be any better hosts if we recorded once in March and then spent the last 8 months trying to figure out how to be good conversationalists. Like, we have to just do it.
Exactly.
And this podcast has taught me like that level of discipline. So I'm just excited to keep that and just keep going. I feel like 2021 could be a really big year for the podcast.
100%. I'm so excited for it. And with that all being said, everyone who's listening right now, give us what you guys want to see from our podcast in the upcoming year. We're taking a break for the next couple of weeks that we've already mentioned, and we want to make sure that we take this time to reset, recoup, and then get back into it in 2021. And we want to hear from every single one of you.
Do you have the date of when we're coming back?
I believe the first episode that we will be releasing is going to be January 11th.
Okay. So we're recording the first week in January. Yeah. So we will be back January 11th. Mark your calendars.
Mark your calendars, guys. We're coming back.
We know you guys really, really care. Yeah, no, I'm excited. Also, I just want to say, Taylor Swift came out with an album last night. If you guys are listening to this as we get to the tail end of the podcast, that is the first thing that you should listen to at the end of this. It is incredible. Like, the storytelling on the album is unreal. It's really good.
I definitely need to check it out. I have not listened to it as of yet.
Dude, what have you been doing all day? Get on that.
I've been sleeping, honestly. I've been sleeping. I slept up until, I think, 1 o'clock, and then I started just doing work, and then went on a drive, came back, and now we're here.
Now you're productive. Now this counts as a day where you did something.
Exactly. Today I did something. It's a story I will write about tonight.
Oh my gosh. Dude, that was good. That was really good.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But also, as the podcast does come to an end, I want to remember to give a huge shout out to Adil Constantine, of course, for our intro and outro music, as always. And of course, our dear friend Luke, who has been grinding through these episodes. Luke, as you are listening to this, how do you feel? It's the last episode of the year. You're about to get like 3 weeks off. I hope you enjoy it, man.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you again, Luke. Thank you guys all. Seriously, from the bottom of our hearts, if you guys did not listen to these episodes, we would not be where we are. And Darsh and I would not be able to have to talk every week. And like, our friendship has just grown a lot in 2020 because of you guys. So thank you so much. And we're really excited for 2021.
So excited for 2021. Definitely going to talk soon to everyone. But yeah, I think this is it for 2020.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Literally everything under the rainbow. We'll talk to you guys soon. Well, 3 weeks. January 11th. Mark it in your calendars. We will be back.
All right. Bye, guys. Have a good one.
Have a good one, guys. See you.